Shall I move the table?
Hello, this is Jane Grant interviewing Diane Brace at 4:10 on Friday, November the 7th, 2014. And I'm going to start by asking Diane if she could tell me, if you could tell me, Diane, about your life in activism before you came to Wilf.
I was a member of the Labour Party from 1945 onwards, very active in the Labour Party, still am.
And have you were you involved in anything else other than the Labour Party?
No, I don't think so.
What did you do for the Labour Party?
The usual, and canvassing and leafleting and speaking.
So you hadn't been involved in a women's organisation before Wilf?
That's right. Mm.
So tell me then, how did you get involved in Wilf? How did you join?
One of my friends from when I was a child became president of United States Wilf. And she came to Europe to the Swedish conference, and I went with her. And I got to know Wilf through attending the Swedish conference. I thought I would join.
And once you joined, how would you describe your life in Wilf?
Well, I became president of United States United Kingdom Wilf for a short while. I was fairly active. I started the London branch, worked on the London branch, and as I said, became national president. And I went to the United States to attend the United States conference when I was president of British Wilf.
And what did you feel about it? What were your feelings about Wilf?
Mix, I guess. I don't really favour single gender organisations. I think the population is made of men and women, and organisations seem to me to work best when they're like that. But no, it was interesting.
And when and why did you leave Wilf?
I haven't left Wilf. I'm still a member, and I still do occasional things for them. The annual party is held in my garden, and I organise the anniversary party in a bookshop in Islington. So I'm still vaguely around, but I don't attend meetings.
Do you miss it in any way?
No.
What recommendations would you make to improve the running, the governance of Wilf, to make it more welcoming, or whatever?
It's a difficult question. One of the reasons I left Wilf was that it didn't seem to me to be doing anything. And it seems to me important to try and make a difference, even if you can't. And in fact, to have an ambition of world peace is too large. You know, it's unlikely we're going to achieve it, at least in my lifetime. And I would have thought for them to have much more modest ambitions would have been easier. I also found it competitive. I thought there were people within Wilf who were ambitious and competitive, and that was a problem for me.
This is all very familiar to many organisations.
Mm-hmm.
How can one prevent such things happening?
Very difficult indeed. I suppose having members who dislike it and therefore work against it. And in Wilf, it seemed to me that people went along with the competitiveness and sort of put up with it. And if you put up with things, I went to a show the other day and they said to get change, you must challenge things. And I don't think we did challenge that particular development.
Do you think a lot of people invested a lot of themselves, we seem to be implying that, in Wilf, which aren't one way is a good thing, actually, but can become a bad thing.
I'm not understanding the question.
I think what I'm implying that you said people were competitive, and they're, I mean, does this mean that women in wealth were investing in a way too much in it, so that it became incredibly important to be important in wealth?
Yes. I hadn't thought of it in those terms that you're describing. People like achievement, they like role status, and you who have done so much research of women's organisations will know that it's not particular to wealth. I think more people had to challenge it.
Do you think it would have been easier if wealth could have afforded to have paid staff?
Oh, absolutely.
So that
I much admire the Fawcett Society, which does have paid staff. But then, in fact, they go and they make the money. They don't get given it. I don't even remember the time I ran around Hyde Park to raise money for Wolf. And the Fawcett Society ran around as well, but they made a great deal more money. And then it was objected that I ran around it because the organisation sponsoring it was a commercial organisation. And so I haven't done it since. Sorry, that isn't very clear.
No, it's almost as if you're saying that they are their own worst enemy, isn't it?
Well, I suppose that's a bit too strong. This particular episode, which perhaps illustrates it, I wanted to raise money for Wilf, and I raised £300 or £400, and I ran round Hyde Park when all the women's organisations were running around Hyde Park. And my granddaughter ran with me, but I was the only person doing it. And when it was all over, I was so impressed that the Fawcett Society had got 4,500, whereas I'd only got 300. And then people in Wolf criticised my doing it, because the organisation that sponsored the sponsored run, were commercial people. They made trainers, and they objected to us working with an organisation that was commercial. I thought this was daft, because we actually made money for Wolf out of it.
Sounds to me like it's like the tall poppy syndrome. It's because you put your head above the parapet, as it were, in order to make an effort. That they were jealous of your effort, do you think?
Oh, I don't think they were jealous. They just had principles which were different from mine. I'm much more compromising, I suppose. I wanted to make money. You mentioned Wolf having a paid organiser. It seems to me that the Fawcett Society benefits hugely by having a paid organiser. And I would like us to have had the same.
Yes. Tell me, what do you think of the opportunity which 2015, the centenary, will centenary offers?
I suppose to get everyone together. I had originally thought of going to The Hague, and I'm not now, but...
Why not now?
Because I am no longer an enthusiastic member of Wolf, I suppose. But I used to live in Holland, so I can even speak Dutch. But no, I shall observe what happens in The Hague, and I think it's a really great thing to do. I mean, I worked quite a lot, as you probably know, at the Geneva office of Wolf, because I was the personnel person internationally, and I went and did the appraisals for the Secretary General for several years. And so I've some sort of small insights into how the international works. They have to change things. They have to do things that make a difference. I don't think they do. They probably do in other countries. I mean, we've particularly been knowledgeable, haven't we, about the Wolf branch in the Congo, because we have Congolese refugees in our membership. And I suspect they do some good work there. I didn't see good work being done here in the UK.
What would you say about the governance of the International Wolf, which of course now has a very active Secretary General?
Yes, and she's impressive. I don't know. It seemed to me when I was there, and that was before the Secretary General, so it was a different Secretary General then, that they were so latched into the United Nations. And the United Nations has very little effect on certainly the UK, and perhaps not very much in the world. They seem to me to be so occupied in going to United Nations meetings and chairing United Nations Commission meetings. And I doubt whether the United Nations has a huge effect on the rest of the world. Sorry, that's a bit...
Well, that's a bit... if they're not doing that, what should they be doing instead?
Helping the branches like the UK. I mean, the UK branch, I think, doesn't have officers at the moment, or doesn't have a president or a vice president. I mean, that's a very telling indication of lack of enthusiasm, support, whatever. I think they should have helped branches, yeah.
Rather than going to the UN.
Well, I mean, I'm being stupid about the UN, am I not? I thought they quite enjoyed chairing committees. It may be much better now with the Secretary General who's been there several years and who is a very able woman.
What do you think? I mean, Wolf in UK is doing things to celebrate 2015. It's, I mean, this recording interviews with people is part of it, to archive them, and then there's going to be various reenactments of going to The Hague. What do you think Wolf should look like at the end of 2015, which it doesn't look like now? I mean, what changes should this make?
I think people should recognise that they exist. I mean, also I'm a woman in black, as you probably know, and they're really quite successful, I think, at making their self evident. But they have a very different setup. They don't have offices and committees and organisation. They just do things. It would be nice if people had heard of Wolf. When I mention to people that I'm a member of Wolf, they've not a clue what I'm talking about.
So you think there should be a massive publicity?
I think they should do things that... I mean, there are so many problems in the country. If you're... I mean, I'm probably being stupid about this. If you're just latched into in peace and war, we don't actually... We have, of course, people killing people in Afghanistan and formerly in Iraq. And perhaps we should have been much stronger against those things happening, because that was the only time that Britain was involved in a police war conflict, apart from Northern Ireland, perhaps. But if you're about peace, you have to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not aware that we are.
Well, I think we do write letters to ministers and things, don't
oh,
we?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you don't think that this special year is going to make... I mean, I
would
a great
love,
deal
I
of
would love it too. I much admire those women. I'm hugely admiring of the women back in 1915. Very courageous they were, and splendid. But they had a purpose, did they not? They had a war to stop. Okay, they didn't stop the war, but they really tried. And were quite influential when the war was over. As I said, I think it's difficult to be a peace organisation, because you have to... I'm not being clear. A peace organisation has to try and stop the country in which it lives, fighting people, killing people. And we do it quite a lot, this country does. We kill people on quite a large scale, in Iraq, and of course in Afghanistan. What did we do about that? Letters to the papers aren't going to do much, are they? And it would have been very unpopular to oppose the war in Iraq. And and we all walked in that million thing, at least I did. But the women in 1915 were very unpopular too.
Those dangerous women.
They were.
Yeah.
I don't know that we've done anything about Iraq, and Iraq seems to me a pointless killing of people.
Yeah, the trouble is that the recent Islamic thing in Syria and Iraq, it's very difficult to know what to do. I mean, you know, what to do.
People
said, you know, do you just let them rampage across, or do you, you know, what?
It's
what
a very difficult decision.
Yeah.
But I think we should be discussing what they do about it.
Yeah.
I think it's a hugely difficult decision. Terrorism, which isn't about invading people's countries, it's just about killing people in other people's countries in many cases. A hugely difficult problem. But Wolf needs to address it, if it's a peace organisation.
Yeah. If Wolf did get this sort of a grip, as you're talking about, would you become more active in it?
Probably, yes.
You would. Well, that would be. Thank you, Diane. Thank you, Diane. Very much indeed.
Right.
Well done. Did you think you said all you wanted to say?
Yes, there were things I hadn't thought through. Probably.
Yeah.
No, that was stimulating. Thank you.
Well, I don't. I hope it's. I just bloody hope it's recorded. I just need to see if I can remember that.
It's interesting, the comparison with the Fawcett Society, isn't it? I mean, as I said, I've been looking at the website for the Fawcett Society recently because we had the speaker, and it's doing a huge amount.